If you knew someone in your world who could show you how to find spiritual illumination, what would you do? Would you go to them and ask them to help you to learn how to be a hairdresser? Would you go to them and ask them to be your husband or wife? Father of your children or mother of your children, whatever they were? Would you go to them and say, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, the principle doesn't work? Would you go to them, to someone who could show you how to live and enter into a spiritual life of utter magnificence? Would you go to them and ask them to teach you how to write stories or how to pray or how to do other things? Einstein said an interesting thing. He said, I don't teach religion. I teach a philosophy, a religion of sorts. But like Spinoza, I teach that there is a set of laws in this universe, and these laws guide the universe in an orderly fashion, and that the orderly fashion is not giving God a chance to say, this is right and that's wrong, or whatever man is doing is right or wrong. It's just an orderly fashion. So in other words, I can use the law of cause and effect to accomplish anything I want, whether it's good or bad. I don't have to pray. I don't have to pray wishing that some greater power, greater than I am, will reach out and carry out my wishes. If I pray to something greater than I am that can reach out and fulfill my wishes, then I don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I am this greater power, and I am the allness. So, every person born on the face of the earth, in my observation, every person born on the face of the earth is born after they have done their research. And they have determined what kind of a life experience you want to have. In other words, they've gone to the theater and they said, I want to play the role of Macbeth, or I want to play the role of Jonathan Winters, or I want to play the role of whatever. And this is the play that I want to play in. Now, I might change it as I go along, but this is what I want to do. And that's the game I want to play. So, there's no choice of whether you play it or whether you don't play it. You just take the costume and go. Mm-hmm. Nobody says yes, nobody says no. You just take it and go and you play the game. So, you play the game. Naturally, if you're going to play before intellectual audiences, you're going to want to put yourself in a college type of situation, you know. If you're going to play before the elite of Los Angeles, you're going to go into the Chandler Pavilion there and play. If you're going to go to a symphony hall, or if you're going to be one of the three tenors, you know. Now, using the three tenors as an example, one of the tenors was supposed to have been having a problem. And he's excellent. He was a fabulous singer and a nice man, too, from what we hear. And so he got this problem, and he needed to have it solved. And he ran out of money solving his problem. So one of the other tenors, according to a story we have, created an organization that researched the problem and help this guy without this guy knowing that he did it. Now, that became a very wonderful thing. Now, why did he create this situation? Why did he create this confusing situation where he had to go through all this money for, why did he have to be sick in the first place? And he's like, such a wonderful singer, why didn't he keep singing? Well, as he was singing, he sang many sad songs, and he took on the aura of the sad song, and it became his lifestyle and his experience. Now, he chose to do that, and it was not good or bad, he just chose to do it. Now, did he have to?
No.
Did he want to? He wanted to because he wanted to play the role, emote himself into the song, you know, so he would really sound like he was really singing that song and giving his all to it, as many of the singers and actors do. So, now, Danny Kaye did his just a little differently. Danny Kaye loved children, still does, he works with them, and he had himself as the he was in Norway, and he was with the Ugly Duckling and so forth.
Hans Christian Andersen.
So he played the role of Hans Christian Andersen. But Hans Christian Andersen was a dum-dum. He wasn't stupid, but he just a storyteller. He only liked telling stories and talking to the children, from what we are told. But he also wrote operas, and he wrote other things, which are quite amazing. But those were not his real thing. So Danny Kaye played that role. But Danny Kaye did those things too, the dumb things. He allowed himself to be put into movies, third-rate movies, where he was cast as a very foolish person each time, you know. And that's not his nature. And then he married a wife who loved working with him on his strange songs. He did all those silly things, which really wasn't his nature. His nature is a very refined gentleman, a very fine, respectable man who children just adore and radiate and go to, and so forth. Now, why did he allow himself to get involved in these other things? See? He involved himself in these other things because he felt that he was not really worthy of what he was doing. And this is what a lot of us feel. We're not really worthy of what we're doing. And so if we feel we're not really worthy of what we're doing, then we experience that thing. Now, you chose at the time you were born to be wearing the robe you're wearing and playing the game you're playing. Now, can you change that at any time? What would cause you to change it?
Putting a different cause into motion.
Of knowing that you don't have to play that game.
Right.
It's not putting a different cause in motion. It's knowing that you don't have to play that game. That you are free to play any game you want. So then you play a different game. And do you want to play a different game or don't you? If you have been playing a game of one thing and then you want to play a game of something else, say you want to play a game of being a gardener. So you take your love of gardening and you go out and be a gardener. Well, what kind of gardener are you going to be? You'd be a mediocre gardener because you haven't given your professional interest to it. If you want to be a gardener, you get all the books you can on gardening, all the interest you can on gardening, prepare yourself on gardening, go to school on gardening, you know, go to night school on gardening, prepare yourself so well that you are just the very best gardener. And what happens while you're doing that? What happens while you're preparing yourself, you have so concentrated on doing this that that's your only thought, that's your only direction in life, it's your only attitude. And of course, you'll enjoy it, and you'll have a lot of fun. These people who have many different attitudes, many different diversity of things that they want to work on, they're not happy. They're not happy because they haven't found themselves and gone to be themselves with 100% direction. Now, you can do that. We can all do that. What do you want to do? What is your 100%? If, as we started out our talk, if we said, Ellen, you want to find spiritual illumination, and so you go to a spiritually illumined person that you want to help guide you, and so then you talk to them all about your family, you talk to them all about your problems, you talk to them all about your world, you talk to them all about your limitations, you talk to them all about your garbage in your world that has held you in bondage for so long, and you talk to them about all the things that, let's call them the human things, the things that humans talk with each other about, the jokes that they tell each other, and the things that they share with each other. And what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. The spiritual master is not going to change, but you aren't either. You're going to remain the same humanistic person that you always were. Now, the moment you figure out what you're doing, I am going to go to a catering school to learn how to be a caterer. And at the catering school, oh, I saw the most wonderful man. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's a wonderful man. And you forget all about your catering, and you will go following this man. And then you find out that he's not really interested in catering or anything else, and certainly not you, because he doesn't like someone who's so flibbertigibbet, you know. And so then you haven't got your catering training, and you haven't got your man. Yeah. So, whenever you do anything, be one-pointed. If you're going to charm school to learn how to get a man, then study it. If you're going to charm school to be the most fabulous person you can be, then study it. And be the most fabulous person you can be. And then say, no, not you, over you, I'll go with you. You know, and you're not doing anything except being yourself and having fun. But just remember, and that's the whole purpose of what I'm saying to you right now. When you go someplace, or even if you're born, and you're born into the Rockefeller family, take all it can give. Take all the good points, all the fine points. You see, Peter, that's the second richest man in the world.
Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett, his son Peter, thought that he was going to be raised to spend his father's money and organize his father's money and work with it. And so what is his father teaching him to do? He's teaching him to give it away. He's teaching him to work in the philanthropy game, you know. And interesting, very interesting. And so he's teaching him to know people like, you know, Bill Gates and Melinda and Bill Clinton. You see, he's teaching him to know all these people. And the son, when he's born into this very, very wealthy, wealthy family, surely think he's going to be wealthy, 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 you know. But his father didn't teach him that way. His father taught him to be sharing and to be caring and what have you. So, you see, we don't always know what we're born into. We have to decide who we are. Now, have any of you decided who you are? If you have, then go and be it. And enjoy it. And love it. Just like I love you.
All right.
I love you.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you.
Love you.